Whoever exalts himself will be humbled. Whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Remember that. We're going to see it in the next world. I'm so glad to get Father Pat McNamee and Father Dennis to come. They're two of our best senior priests, as most of you probably know, at least Father Pat. And so I was really glad to have them filling in. And on this trip, we all have different things that we notice. And I took a lot of pictures to show the parish, like I usually do at Lent, for the fifth gospel. To those who can't go there, we can bring it to them, because it really opens up your eyes to the scriptures to see some of the places where Jesus walked and what the churches are now. So, and, you know, other things in Jordan. But, you know, I often pray for the for refugees, especially Christian ones that have been dispossessed by intolerant people that want to get them out of the country. And at one point we were within 60 miles of the Syrian border, and I'm thinking, okay, that's far enough. Don't want to go any further into this. But, you know, our guide, his name was Sammy, was saying that he was pointing out, here's where the Syrian refugees are, here's where the Iraqi refugees. He said, we finally, the Jordanians, they were in tents all this time, and they finally gave them a little money to build some concrete homes, and they're not painted. To us, they would be not acceptable, but to them, it was home. And so I've been doubling my prayers for refugees, and the employment level in Jordan is almost 30%. Because they've accepted all of these people. Where else can they go? Jordan is stable and the other countries are not. So I was really impressed with that. And you see, they're the humble of the world. And don't be surprised to find that those kind of people are going to be first in line. We're going to wonder, how did they get there? Well, in this world, they were like Christ. They didn't have much. Look at Christ. He was like this. He was a refugee. You know, Herod was trying to kill him. They had to go on the lam for a couple of years in Egypt to get away. That was God's will. God could have taken care of it by taking care of Herod, but instead he let his son experience this human condition of not being able to be settled, which occurs here too in a number of ways for us when we are between jobs or something gets unsettled in our families. But Christ also has been there. He was humble, and he's not with the high and mighty. We find him as in our lowliness. When we're in an exalted position, we often can't see or hear God. We're so full of ourselves and our success and our aspirations that are of no use to God in the end. It's interesting. So that was the biggest impression I had in Jordan, not Petra and things that were so exalted, although that was interesting. When one goes in various countries, and in this country as well in museums, you often find, marble or stone heads of various rulers of past ages. You know, the museums over there, it seems like they're always headless torsos. I don't know why all the heads are cut off of these things, but the heads are somewhere else and the torsos are somewhere else. But when you look at these heads, they're very often Roman emperors. They must have had them all over the empire to remind people who the boss was. But when you, even though they're not painted anymore and the glass eye has usually been removed in the days that they were in existence, they were painted to look lifelike and they had glass eyes. They probably looked very realistic. But even in their natural state of just plain stone, many of these faces look hard and cold and mean. The personality comes out. They wanted people to see that they meant business. I'm the ruler here. And some of them were considered gods. Constantine, who legalized Christianity, interestingly enough, the images we have of him are almost all the opposite, which is very interesting. But one has to ask the question, where are they now? What good was their power and fame and fortune? It didn't last. These things are not important to God. In fact, they're curses. They do not last. One of the things that the church has traditionally, there are three things the church and the scriptures bring up in a catchphrase that we have to watch out for. And all three of them lead to a lack of humility. The world, the flesh, and the devil. The world, the flesh, and the devil, you know. Or fame, power, and money. Too much of any of that is not good for us. Now, we all want to be thought well of. We all want to have a sufficiency of things for our lives. And we all want to have control of our own situation if we can. None of that is against God's will. None of that is bad. But in excess, how many people in this world have sold their souls to get those things? They've bought a line from the devil. And, you know, people that worship, we're not in heaven. This is not God's kingdom on earth. You know, here in the church, we are an outpost of the kingdom of God, but each one of us is a fallen creature. We're all struggling. In this, we're not perfect yet. And we're all tempted by these things. But many who have thrown the scriptures out, who have no use for God, they're into the materialism of the age. We're materialists that think only of this world as if there were no other. Everybody wants fame, and they're willing to do anything to get it. Look at these scandals with the movies and stuff. You know, look how quickly, if you know what I'm talking about, look at the fall. How many of you are familiar with Mr. Weinstein? Anybody who knows what I'm talking about, do you know he was the source of the majority of the anti-Catholic movies in the last 20 years? That one individual, that company. See, they did their best to humiliate the church. Maybe we needed it for our purification. But what goes around comes around. God started with us, but he's going to finish with everybody else. I guarantee you. He wanted his church purified, and he still does. But what he really wants from us is humility. And those who pursue power, fame, and money to excess, they may get them in this world, but it's a lie. At the end, it all disappears, and we're left with the person that we've become. And it's not very pretty if that's all I've pursued. Look at those marble busts of all these rulers that, with their mean-looking appearances and this sort of thing, they themselves have vanished, yet the effect that they had on people, you can even feel it when you look at some of these images. Jesus makes it quite clear that this is his priority. I have to say, when our Lord provides in my life with opportunities for humility or involuntary things that, you know, powerlessness, lack of resources, or not somebody not thinking well of you or saying something bad about you, I don't care for it and I want it to go away. But the Lord will periodically cleanse our hearts by permitting these things and reminding us that he too got a full share of this. He's the only one of us human beings that had pre-existence. He himself chose the family he would join. It was a poor family. We had mass at shepherds, one of the shepherd fields, one of the three that we think they might have been in. And the shepherds were the lowest of all the people of the state of Israel, of Israel in those days. Yet they were the first to hear the good news. Mary Magdalene had seven devils. She was not, women in that era were not credible witnesses. That's who Jesus chose for his first witness. They had to believe her, not the apostles. And she was with them probably most of the journeys too. Jesus chose to be a refugee. He chose to be born in a cave. He chose a father who had to make ends meet by doing what he could. You know, as a common laborer, he had workers' hands. You know, they weren't rich people. And this was the example he gave. This is an interesting near-death experience type thing. I used to read quite a few of these, but this individual was complaining to the Lord that he didn't get it. He didn't understand what was expected of him. He said, I read the scriptures. I came to church, but I didn't get it. And he said, you didn't tell me adequately. He said, I did tell you. I told you by how I lived. I told you by how I died. Didn't you get it? And I thought, yeah, you know, if I'm complaining about a 13-hour flight from Istanbul to San Francisco. That was awful. He says, if you're complaining about that, look at this. Well, that shuts me up pretty quick, right? You think you got it bad. I was God. Do you think I deserve that? You know? So periodically, our Lord will put us to the test or will allow us to experience powerlessness, a lack of a good reputation by someone or something, or a lack of resources. And in those moments, we are becoming more like Christ. He wants us to have something to share with him in the world to come. What will I have to talk about the Lord with the Lord if all I experienced was adulation, infinite power, and all the money that I had no needs? I won't understand anything of God. I'm not going to have a very high place in heaven. A high place in heaven means a deeper relationship with Christ. That's really what it is. It's not so much having the highest, the biggest view in heaven or something. It's more like I will understand more of God for all eternity. He promises us he's doing us a favor when he takes things away. It's hard to get a handle on that, but at least we can try to accept it when it happens and look at Jesus, who voluntarily accepted the worst death you could have at that time for love of us. So it's a gospel where you see the Pharisees and the Sadducees strutting around, adding burdens to people and not in any way practicing humility, and the Son of God standing before them, allowing them to judge him and put him to death. And he was God. But one day, when they come before him, he will judge them. And so we have this moment, the only moment we will ever have in our eternal existence, when we can experience these lacks. The world thinks we're nuts to go after things like that or to even appreciate them. But that's where the action is. That's why we come to church, to find out what life is really all about, and not the propaganda that we get from the world, the flesh, and the devil, which is wrong. It may promise us earthly happiness. Even that doesn't deliver, but it disappears very quickly. Whereas what God takes away from us, he returns 100-fold, and it never ends.